40 greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners and viewers. I'm Mukbil Yabarow, joined by Jackson Fugani. This is On Goal with Sonny and Mukbil. We are filling in for Sonny on this very last episode of On Goal. Jackson, talk to me about the exciting World Cup finale. How to finish off with a bang.
Hey, this was the best World Cup final I've watched ever, you know, and I'm not kidding about that. Honestly, yesterday, right after the game, I was just like in my living room by myself screaming at the TV. I could not believe what I was watching. The best soccer ever. And I know the game has evolved and it has progressed, but man, I did not expect to see this caliber of football right before my eyes in my lifetime. I'm not exaggerating, people. This was great soccer, the great finale. I mean, both teams, France, Argentina, they brought out their best. This, you know, this is what soccer is made about. This is what the finals are about. And, you know, kudos to both teams. They gave us a great game.
Man, honestly, I couldn't have said it better myself, Jackson. I feel like, you know, having both Messi and Mbappe, two megastars from PSG, to both then come out and really show us the game that we've been waiting for. You know, when you hear Argentina and France, these are two heavy hitters. These aren't your smaller team. So you really expect to see,
right. On the side note, how does it feel for the guy who owns PSG to see that his big ballers are the ones like who are creating that type of excitement on the global stage of that level? What do you think about your investment? You know what I'm saying?
Jackson, who are you telling? Imar Tamim, man, if I were him, honestly, I could not write a better script. Just think about this, right? Let's set the stage. You have Hollywood, right? Hollywood writes down somewhere, the World Cup is going to be held in your country. And yep, the top two players from your club team are going to be the main headliners. And then on top of that, they both score multiple goals.
They create magic. It was not an ordinary World Cup finale. Honestly, it was not ordinary. But, you know, let's just give it up also to Qatar for having organized one of the best tournaments ever. Like one of the best from, you know, even better than South Africa, even better than Brazil. I'm not trying to compare or anything, but this in many ways was very, very well organized. I know there was a lot of politics right before the games started. A lot of issues spoken that were not really about the game itself. And they were able to look past that and organize a very successful event. So kudos and shout out and a Sunnyside salute to Qatar for having organized a very beautiful World Cup.
Man, honestly, Jackson, I couldn't agree more. I've definitely heard, you know, we've seen it on socials. So many different peoples from different walks of life have come to that tournament and have said that they've been to maybe one, two, maybe even three different World Cups. And this was one of the most family-friendly, you know, it was an amazing event. People didn't really have to worry about too much, you know, so safety was very important. Plus, to me, one of the key things was that the 12 stadiums were all within 1 hour of each other. Mm. That is huge, right? So
Logistics is key, because I know so many in the past where people were used to complain, fans were complaining about, you know, finding the stadium itself, finding access to the stadium and things of that nature. This time, I don't know whether... I think those are some of the considerations while they were planning out this World Cup. The infrastructure obviously was impeccable, world-class infrastructure. They invested a lot, and you can tell sometimes people invest a lot in something, and they invest in the design, but the usability usually is not something they think about. In this case, I think Qatar ticked all the different circles on how to organize a successful tournament.
No, definitely, Jackson, I would agree. I think they did have a little bit of an advantage considering when they had won the lottery to host the World Cup that there was no infrastructure set up yet, right? So with that being said, you can start it off with a clear slate and then all of a sudden, you know, make sure that, you know, every complaint that people have mentioned in the past is something that you can kind of tick off. Absolutely. So I definitely agree with you.
It also doesn't hurt that you have billions of dollars in, you know what I'm saying? Like, Qatar is not a very poor country, so
Right, you know.
Again, they were able to plan it well. It sometimes you might have the resources, but you don't have the skills to plan out on how to organize a tournament. But yo, gotta give it up to them.
Man, how about when Messi is receiving his Golden Ball award, right? And the Emir of Qatar puts on this, this cultural garment called the bisht, which is really like a, it's almost like a crowning, right? A lot of Middle Easterners, they wear it to their weddings and like, to their events when they really want to, showcase almost like this royalty, regal type of feeling, right? So
Beautiful symbolism.
Messi just, having played, his jersey still has some grass stains on it. He puts this on him and he goes and celebrates and grabs the trophy. Who would have thought, Messi, one of the greatest players of all time, wins the Golden Ball and the World Cup at Qatar, in the Middle East, and wearing the bisht. Now that's going to be a meme, running around in the Arab communities for years to come.
The cultural symbolism on that is just too heavy to even comprehend right now. That's what is going to be to live on in memory. 10 years, 20 years from now, we'll be talking about this World Cup, especially the finals.
I agree. I agree. You know how it is. Sometimes things just take on a life of its own. In a couple of years, people will say, that was the first Saudi Arabian player to win the World Cup that plays for Argentina.
By the way, did you? I don't know if you see me. I'm wearing my Ghana Black Stars jersey that I acquired when I was in Accra a couple of weeks ago, covering the Black Stars, the people who the fans of the Black Stars, Ghanaians. So today I felt like it was an appropriate day to rock it,
No,
you know.
it looks great, man. We're staying on theme with the red. I'm wearing the American jersey, go USA. As we know, the next World Cup will be here within the North America, right? So we have USA, Canada, and Mexico. Jackson, talk to me about how you think that's going to be.
Oh, it's gonna be insane. It's gonna be insane. First of all, more teams in the World Cup.
Right.
The populations of these two countries. I know there's gonna be some issues logistically, but I feel like it will be one of the, next to Qatar,
Yeah.
this is going to be a very exciting World Cup.
No, I definitely would want any reason or excuse just to go to Mexico anyways. So, if it's for the World Cup, I'm definitely all in. I think it's going to
Absolutely.
be very exciting. But I will say this though, I remember the FIFA head Infantino recently said prior to coming into this Qatar World Cup that they had kind of already knew exactly the setup that they wanted for the new 48 teams for the upcoming World Cup. But having seen what transpired in the group stages with having the four teams in the group stages and like one goal differential. If Saudi Arabia doesn't score against Mexico, they go through, Korea and Uruguay situation happening on goal difference all in real time because the games were being played simultaneously. I think now they said that they're going to reassess the formation on what they were thinking about for that 16, for that 48 team world, the new World Cup, I guess, structure because, it really, it's something that when you see that in real time, it's like, what? Do I really want to change this? This is so exciting. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm very excited about the fact that, more African teams will be joining. So we'll see more talent from the continent prepare in the next couple of years. In these 4 years leading up to the next World Cup, we expect a lot of investment going into the continent, building infrastructure, developing talent, skills, young players on the continent. I mean, I was in Ghana. I visited a couple of academies, young boys in their 10, in their teens, who most likely will end up playing in the US in 4 years, playing at the World Cup. And you see a lot of talent. These kids were coming from around the continent, mostly West Africa, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Nigeria. Many of them attend these academies in Accra. I also visited young women academies. These young ladies, I know that in a couple of months we'll be watching the Women's World Cup in Australia, I believe. So that is also going to be very exciting. But I'm just looking forward to to see the talent, you know, that we have on the continent being represented on a global stage, on a global platform like this, because we have a lot of it. We just don't have the space to showcase it.
You know, I love that point that you mentioned. You know, the thing about our talent has always been, you know, a lack of resources or maybe not having the right infrastructure to really build our players up, you know what I mean, on the continent. And we've also seen it with the NBA Basketball Africa League now, you know, moving forward and stuff. So it's not that the talent is not there. It's just that you're not able to hone the skills of these younger players. And then they end up leaving, or if their parents, you know, may have migrated to another country, maybe in Europe or America, and then they end up playing there because, you know, that's just the style.
I mean, look at the French team. the last African team on this World Cup.
Man, the France team looked like, if I were to say, an all-star lineup of Africans. You know what I mean? They had so many different players that, you know, have a connection to the continent, as did England as well, really.
If we're gonna, salute to my boy Mbappe, by the way. I don't know
how we got this far without talking about Mbappe.
The man's back must be hurting from carrying that team yesterday.
Man, that was, for a 23-year-old to have to do that type of lifting, Jackson, is unbelievable. Right, first off, let's not even, like, how quick did he score his two goals? Within a minute and 30 seconds, he scored two goals, right? And then he scored another PK in extra time. Then he was still the first player on the French team to take the PK.
I mean, the pressure. Man. Imagine being in the pressure.
Ice cold water. This kid has ice in his veins, man. He doesn't know what pressure is. This kid is different, bro.
I'm telling you. Man. Built differently. Mbappe, shout out to Mbappe. 100%. I can't wait to see the kind of player. I mean, he's still young, 23. Right. The next World Cup, he'll be 27. I've had people say, you know, his main forte, his main skill is he outruns his competitor. That maybe that he might not have that as he ages, but listen, this kid plays smart soccer. He just has a different sets of skills in one, and you saw it yesterday. He was able to deploy it against a very determined Argentinian team. Argentina came in, remember, in the first half, dominated, owned the game. And then Mbappe just came out of nowhere, man.
You know the very interesting thing you mentioned, Jackson. The first half, everybody, I think, outside of an Argentinian fan maybe that's living in Argentina who didn't want to see a good game, wanted it to end 2-0. Everyone else, even if you're supporting them, you're thinking to yourself, this is very, very anticlimactic, right? It's like, this has been a World Cup where we've seen.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought it was going to be like one of those, the game between Uruguay and Ghana that had been building up for 12 years.
Right.
And then on the day of, they just, and I thought that's exactly what was about to happen. We in for a surprise.
You know how fast it happened so fast. Somebody could have went to go grab a snack from their fridge, and the score is 2-2. You think your TV's glitching, man? The kid is fast. And to your point, when you're talking about people mentioning that about his pace, right? He definitely, that is one of his main attributes. You know, if I had pace like that, why would I not utilize it? You know what I mean? But there's
especially that position,
right? Yeah. But there's a difference between having pace and that being the only thing you have. We've seen him numerous times have quality finishing, right? That second goal of his, quality, bro. Like, that was a classy goal, you know what I mean? Yes. So you can have all the pace in the world. If you're not able to finish, if you're not able to get yourself in the right positions, if you can't get the good reads, or, you know, if you don't know how to play with defensive, you have to know. The thing I like about him the most is his pace allows him to let the defense dictate what they want to give him. So he kind of just lets the ball roll along. And his style of play is very similar to one of my favorite players, who's also a French national, Thierry Henry. You know, he plays very similar to him, uses his pace, you know, got the same level of athleticism, if not more. But the kid is only getting better as time progresses. And I think it's time, man. We got to take the captain ban off Loris, and you got to put it on this kid's hand, because I don't know what else.
100%.
What's with the cap? Man, the captain?
100%. What does the kid need to do?
What more does Mbappe have to do to be the guy? And staying on that same point, if we look at Mbappe, right, at this moment, just check this out. He's tied for number 6th all-time goal scorers for the World Cup. Wow. With 12 goals. Listen, with he 23 years old, 12 goals already. Guess who he's tied with? Pele.
Wow.
If that does not tell you what, you know, as long as this kid, you know what I'm saying, is able to stay injury free, keeps on this same trajectory. He came into the tournament as the number one rated player in the world. But now it's like the separation between him and number two has just grown drastically, you know what I mean, throughout the tournament. Yes. But to be tied number 6th, right, Messi has one more goal than him and has been to 5 World Cups.
And this is Messi's last World Cup.
He's if Mbappe plays in the next World Cup, which we assume he's going to.
I'm sure he will.
He has that, but
But can we just say something real quick then?
Yes.
You know, I got to give it up. Not just, I mean, Mbappe was able to carry a team that had, that was less Benzema and Pogba.
Paul Pogba and Kante as well, right? So you have three of your top, arguably your three starters, not on that team. And still.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I understand this is a team sport, and the French team did really well. But, you know, I feel like, honestly, like I said, Mbappe's back must be hurting from carrying that team.
Absolutely, Jax. We have tons more to talk about, but we'll be right back after this promo. Back as we were saying right before the break, Jackson, we were just going over the World Cup all-time goal scorers, and Mbappe, you know, being exactly where he needs to be, somewhere in the middle of the pack in this marathon. You know, being his second World Cup, only his second World Cup, making it all the way to the finals
at a very young age,
at the young age of 23. Just to go through the rest of this list, you have Messi tied with Just Fontaine of France for 13. You have Gerd Müller of Germany for 14 goals. You have Ronaldo, R9. You know, some say the real Ronaldo. I love Cristiano too, so I'll just say Ronaldo from Brazil. You know,
I also call him the real Ronaldo. So, you know, FYI.
Oh my goodness, R9, man. He was different. He was different, man. So he has 15 goals, and then the top of the pack, man, Miroslav Klose. Right from Germany,
yes.
He has 16 goals. Yeah. But just to think that, you know, Mbappe was able to get 8 actually, right? Because he came into that final with 5. Yeah. He was able to get 8 in this World Cup. So if he gets anywhere near that number, if he's able to just get, he just needs 3 to tie it.
And yes.
He just needs four to go on top for the next World Cup. Man, that's amazing. That's you're in the history books forever with that one, right?
The history books, yeah. And he's going to be injury free. This kid is going to just be amazing.
Yeah,
he's a wonderful player, brilliant. His football IQ, soccer IQ is impeccable at his age. I remember when he made his debut, he just played different. Like he played like a different player altogether. Very well rounded.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe age will wear him off, maybe, you know, he will have injuries and stuff, but, you know, he's just progressively gotten better and better. Yeah. And that's what you want a player to be.
Now I have a question to pose to you, since we've done all this Mbappe, because he's going to be with PSG for some time now, we believe. I know President Macron doesn't want to let him go, as he's mentioned to us, right? But where does Messi go from here, Jackson? What, coming into the tournament, you know, he has some offers from some teams in the MLS. People are thinking he doesn't have it anymore to be able to play on a high level in Europe anymore. Where does he go now, knowing that he is still, in this very moment, the best player in the world on the best team in the country, national side in the world, in Argentina? Where does he go?
You know, the one player they always mention Messi with is Ronaldo, the other Ronaldo, you know, who they say is now going to might likely go to Saudi Arabia. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
His decision on where Ronaldo goes. He's going for bigger markets, yeah. And the other bigger market will be the US. Major here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, given that in the next 4 years, the World Cup is coming here, the US is going to invest a lot of money. The US teams are going to invest a lot of money in acquiring a lot of some of these talents, but also building the profile of their teams and soccer as a whole. So they might go for those big fish. For Messi, I feel like he feels like he has done what he needs to do to prove he's the GOAT, you know, and he's still the GOAT for now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So at this point, chase the money. Go for the cash.
I definitely agree that, you know, there's definitely something to that, knowing that he could also be that factor to anchor in this new age of, you don't come to the MLS when you no longer can play in Europe, right? There has always been that stigma with European players that have played elite in Europe and then come to, you know, America and play in the MLS on their, you know, almost their dying legs, right? They barely can walk, and then they're still out here scoring goals, and then Ibrahimovic scores goals, and then what, he goes back to Europe and he's reminded he can't play, really,
right?
You know, so for Messi
that dynamic is about to change, especially because of the World Cup, the next World Cup.
Yeah, no, I definitely would agree. I think, yeah, the U.S. definitely has, you know, that market share power, you know, to be able to incentivize to a player of Messi's caliber, hey, come over here and play for, I don't know, Inter Miami maybe, you know. He already has a home down there. You know, he really likes the Miami culture. So if he does that, weather. Who are you telling? Yeah. Can I go to Miami right now? Like, it's so cold in D.C., right?
but I mean, he might end up in D.C. too. A very big market, by the way. Don't overlook this market.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I definitely think there's endless possibilities for the
maybe
team.
Maybe we should start a campaign to get
Messi to D.C. Bring Messi to D.C. I seen him with the Washington Wizards jersey, actually. I don't know who gave it to him. Where did he get it from? But
maybe he has a soft spot for this.
You know, we need it.
If you're watching this,
we need it. Hashtag Messi to DC. I like it. But Jax, let's try to talk about some of these African teams. As we've seen, we had five African teams in the tournament. Morocco was the Cinderella of the tournament, who captured all the hearts of the entire world, really.
I should be wearing the Morocco jersey when I think about what they have done for the continent. Mm-hmm. You know, not just the Arab world, but Africa. Just bringing together these two, people, everybody. I think that the story of Morocco, honestly, is what World Cup is about.
Right. You know? Yeah, no, I agree. I definitely think that it transcended even, like you said, countries and even people. You had people that had no affiliation to either Africa or Arab culture, really, that still really saw, you know, that Cinderella-like story and enjoyed what the Moroccans were doing, when they would win, how they would celebrate with their mothers. It was so joyous to watch them.
And then them
also being humble in defeat too, right? It was like it takes a different type of winner that can really lose and take it respectfully, you know, sportsmanlike, you know. You saw
especially in this day and age of social media, where with the fake bravados and stuff, you know, where people lose and they're like, oh, we need to stop the count, or what, you know.
Right.
But, you know, honestly, these kids You know, shout out to them. You can tell even the relationship they have with their mothers. Maybe that has something to say with how humble they've been. You know, but you know, honestly, hats off to Morocco. Thank you for a great World Cup experience.
100%. I definitely agree with those sentiments, man. But I'm now just so excited. Can we fast forward, Jackson? 4 years already, just so we can get to 2026. Let's just go there and see what the World Cup in North America is gonna hold. You know, I think there's some heavy hitting teams, man, from the African continent that I feel like definitely need to be in it. You know, I think Senegal would have been a different team with Sadio Mane. You know, he would have definitely helped them in that England match for sure. You know, but kudos to them. Getting out of that group stage is not easy when you lose a top 10 caliber player, right? You know, they had him listed as the 10th player in the world, ESPN, when the tournament had started.
I didn't think they were going to do any better than what they did. Honestly, I gotta give a shout out to their coach, and
Ali Osise.
Talk about the fact that most of this, the coaching staff for teams were continent people.
Right. You know what I mean?
For the first time, but Senegal to be able to pull off, to do as well as they did without their star player, Sadio Mane.
Huge.
Huge.
Yeah,
huge,
man.
Huge. Cameroon. You got to talk about Cameroon.
Oh, my goodness. Where do we start? Like, I was talking earlier today, actually, about the fact that Mbappe is half Cameroonian. Imagine imagine Cameroon with Chup Moting and Mbappe up front.
Oh yes,
With Abu Bakr.
Oh, that would be fire!
Maybe Morocco has incentivized some of our French brothers to come on over back to the continent. get some of these guys on these teams.
those would be dream teams. Honestly, if Africa had, we didn't lose all our high caliber players to the other continents. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell that the people that actually play the best soccer are coming from the continent, really. So looking forward 5 years, 4 years from now, how are the African teams, which African teams are going to do well? I think Cameroon is going to be one of those teams that is going to surprise people.
Right.
You know, the caliber players, the young players that are on the team. Senegal, too. You're right about that. Yeah. But let's not forget the Black Stars.
Oh, no. Mohamed Kudus is my favorite player in the tournament. How can I forget the Black Stars, from Ghana? When every time that kid touches the ball, it's magic, He also was doing some very heavy lifting, similar to Mbappe,
Absolutely.
We got to get him some help, guys. He definitely did some heavy lifting. But honestly, the five teams that we had in the tournament this year, excellent. They've all can hold their heads held up high. They all had different instances and moments of greatness. Tunisia beating France, right? Cameroon beating Brazil, right? Senegal coming out of their group. Morocco. The story you already know, So it's like you literally every single team that, stepped up. Ghana, we're talking about it, moments of just greatness. Well, you thought Portugal game should have easily changed. It should have been a different, outcome had, that penalty not been awarded early, But so many different things that these African teams have shown us that they can really play. They didn't have that level of fear where you're playing the competition. They were playing up to part, and sometimes they had moments.
Caliber soccer has changed on the continent, and let the world watch out in the next 4 years. If we can tell from this World Cup, we are seeing a whole different, group of players that are playing match by match with European players.
I'm right there with you, Jackson. Definitely, it has been great. We can definitely talk for another hour or so, but unfortunately, we are out of time. This has been On Goal with Sonny and Mukbil, but I've had my main man, Jackson, with me. It's been a pleasure. This will be wrapping us up for our podcast session, but this will not be the end from when you will be hearing from us, guys. It has been amazing. You all have a great one.